The Earth has been visited by inhuman entities for literally thousands of years. Welcome to the Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're so glad that you've chosen to join us. And of course, we're going to have more with Timothy Alberino after the break. But inhuman entities?
Well, yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it because, of course, the UFO, or now as all the cool kids call them, UAP phenomenon is big in the news. But when you look at it from a Christian perspective, what the true believers in the UFO phenomenon are reporting is actually understandable in a biblical context.
We've been seeing this story, recently. I've been watching this story since I was a kid, but in fact, you and I went to visit Roswell in 2017,
right,
on the 70th anniversary of the landing or crash of something. We still don't know what it was.
No.
We still don't know. But if you've watched the recent programs, then you know the routine. Dr. Thomas Horn gives us our assignment for the week, in addition to, of course, assigning us Timothy Alberino as our guest.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find out what he has to say.
Now, if you have questions for us that you would like us to address on the Bible's Greatest Mysteries, you can always send us an email, bgm@skywatchtv.com, and we will endeavor to answer those as the program grows over the months and years
ahead.
It's even got a cool label on the outside.
I know. It's
very
says
official.
Confidential. Do we get to read this? Well, he's got the story that he wants us to discuss.
Oh. Perfect.
I knew it.
Well, this is big news. Of course, on June 25th, the Pentagon released its official report on unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yes, if you haven't read the report for yourself, then you don't understand the little jiu-jitsu move that the federal government has played with us.
Yeah, it's a 9-page report, but when you take out the 3 title pages in the appendix, or the 2 title pages in the appendix, it's actually only 6 pages. And, of course, all the secret material, the classified material, is not included.
It's 6 pages of nothing.
Right. It really doesn't say much. What it does is, because of the careful circular language, it allows the reader to essentially read into the report what they want to see.
Oh, exactly. And there's a category that they call other.
Yeah.
And the writers of the report admit that because of the other category, that they cannot rule out that we are being visited by something from beyond the Earth.
Mm-hmm. And most of the accounts that they're dealing with here were the ones observed by Navy personnel, beginning with the USS Nimitz incident in 2004.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I watched a documentary not too long ago that had one of the radar operators from the Nimitz, and he had observed that entire incident. It really spooked him, because he said, this tic-tac, it flew far too fast. It was beyond any capability of human design. But he said ever since then, he's been having these nightmares that are about the end of the world.
That is interesting, because there have been other accounts from people who have encountered these unexplained craft over the decades and experienced something similar to that, they were plagued by these really disturbing dreams of just the apocalypse.
Yes, and some of them report that they've been visited by something again and again and again.
Well, that's something that we'll explore in the future, and I think that there's a distinction that needs to be drawn between unidentified aerial phenomena and the so-called abduction phenomena. Phenomenon, rather. Those are two separate things. Clearly, the abduction phenomenon is spiritual in nature, but the unidentified aerial phenomena, there's a leap of logic that's made by many of the witnesses to these events, that if they can't identify it, if it's something that's moving faster than the fastest known human craft, which is the SR-71 Blackbird, and clearly what the trained witnesses saw, the F-18 pilots, the radar recorded on the Nimitz, and also the USS Princeton, which was part of that group back in 2004, that it must be extraterrestrial. It doesn't necessarily follow that is the case. In fact, there have been patents filed by the U.S. Navy for new cutting-edge electrogravitic drive systems that might allow a craft like this, perhaps not even piloted by a human, but operated as a drone,
yes,
to move in ways that these trained pilots were not aware of.
Yes, but the cheerleaders for the it's aliens from another planet scenario will say, well, we were able to do that because we got the technology back in the 40s.
Right, right. We reverse engineered it at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and so forth. And, well, this is a very old story, and there are some biblical explanations for that as well. The offer of technology, of advanced technology, of secret knowledge is a story that goes back to Genesis chapter 6 and the watchers on Mount Hermon.
It goes back to Genesis chapter 3,
well,
even,
you're
because
right.
The secret knowledge is what drew them in.
Yes. What was really interesting in the response to this report by those who are part of the disclosure movement, probably the most prominent is Dr. Stephen Greer of CSETI, which is the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. He was disappointed because he believes that there are extraterrestrials that, and please don't confuse them with inhuman entities, because when I use that phrase, it's trying to speak in the terms that they mm-hmm. might accept, but we're talking about fallen angels
yes,
and demons.
Exactly.
He believes that the extraterrestrials are here to save humanity, that they want to help us. Of course, the question is, what are they waiting for? But they want to help us, but the military-industrial complex is trying to frighten us into thinking that they're evil so that they can put us under a one-world military dictatorship. Now, the sad thing is that Dr. Greer is almost right, because the Bible tells us a one-world government is coming. It will probably be enforced by a military dictatorship, and it will be because of inhuman entities, but not coming from other solar systems in the galaxy.
Well,
they've been visiting humanity since Genesis chapter 3, at least, and probably even earlier.
Well, exactly. And when we talked with Tim Alberino, he gets into a lot of that. So you'll get at that in just a few minutes. But one of the traditional ways of contacting the spirit realm, I'll just put it that way, seeing things that we cannot see, or inviting things in that are normally just, it's like they're just waiting there to come in,
mm-hmm.
is to use some sort of chemical agent, pharmakia.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of stories coming out now, hallucinogens being used to treat PTSD and depression.
Right.
And they're being trialed in the VA hospitals. So it's a place where a lot of things get trialed, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very, very dangerous. In fact, you and I spoke with Dr. Rick Strassman years ago,
mm-hmm.
who was the author of The God Molecule, and it was all about DMT,
right.
dimethyltryptophan, and it's a way to open your third eye, it's believed.
Yes, he wrote a follow-up book in which he wrote that he believed the Hebrew prophets had used a chemical like DMT, magic mushroom, if you will, to experience the visions that allowed them to prophesy, and he felt that more experimentation needed to be done in order to replicate the experience of the Hebrew prophets.
Except that when he did the experiment on DMT with in a lab setting, they had a group experience and also saw the same thing, and they weren't friendly.
No, the entities that the volunteers encountered were at best ambivalent to their presence in their realm, but there were others that were openly hostile. And sometimes violently so. So, no, the thing to remember is that the Hebrew prophets didn't seek the experience. They were pulled into that realm by God himself.
Exactly.
They did not enter that realm. But there are occultists out there, practitioners who believe that they can, with proper prayer and purification and preparation, they can enter the spirit realm without harm. God told Moses to tell the Israelites, teach them, do not do this. Do not consult with mediums or necromancers, not because it's imaginary and it doesn't work, but because when you call into that realm, something answers, and we as humans are not prepared to deal with that.
Exactly. Well, we're just going to have to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to go right to our conversation with Tim Alberino.
Call now and get Reverend Donna Howell and Special Investigator Allie Hinson's brand new eye-opening book, Dark Covenant, along with a never-before-released four-part Dark Covenant companion DVD and Occultianity, how the End Times Church is forming now in preparation of Antichrist on DVD. This is an exclusive offer for our SkyWatch television audience. Yours for a donation of $35 plus shipping and handling. In the new book, Dark Covenant, you will learn how the church is being groomed to embrace the unthinkable in preparation for the enforcement of the Mark of the Beast, how the true body of Christ is being slowly positioned to be considered a public enemy, with the Bible labeled as hate speech and possibly soon prohibited, why much of the church has been lulled into slumber over the preceding decades and is unprepared to be a force for good in our troubled world, how much of Western Christianity has actually become a cult, and what the true body of Christ can do to survive the modern assault on Christianity. You'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Join Reverend Donna Howell, Ali Hinson, and the SkyWatch investigative team for this original four-part series on DVD. This eye-opening expose is already sending shockwaves through the Western religious establishment and is certain to help ready the true remnant of God with the tools needed to navigate the coming days of persecution. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive Occultianity, How the End Times Church is Forming Now in Preparation of Antichrist. In this exclusive never-before-released DVD, Donna Howell and Ali Hinson walk you step-by-step through the well-laid plans of an occult oligarchy who are, as we speak, advancing the way for the system of Antichrist, all while a silent, complacent church has forgotten the true power of the body of Christ and are inadvertently laying the foundation for the bloodiest cult the world has ever seen. This DVD alone is a last day's warning that all true believers must have that will equip God's anointed with the knowledge and power they need to set people free from the powers of deception. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of more than $75. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. Prepare for the coming days of religious fallout as a ready soldier for the coming true Messiah. The Dark Covenant special offer available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
The Bible's Greatest Mysteries is part of SkyWatch TV. Every show is available on demand at the SkyWatch TV app for Roku, Apple TV, and our free mobile app.
The Bible tells us that Adam was created from the soil of the earth. The angels, then, being the elder race, predate the earth. What can we assume or infer about what the nature of their creation? What was the substrate on which God built the angels?
This is a really good question, because, again, this goes back to my statement that I believe that the biblical narrative presumes a pre-Adamic paradigm, in that the angels were obviously created before the earth, according to Job, where the sons of God shouted for joy when the earth was created. So, and then following the creation of the earth came Adam. And I think that I don't think that it's rational to suppose that the angels popped into existence and were suddenly shouting for joy within a period of a few days, and then the earth was creating and then mankind. I think what we see here is a cosmic scene in which the angels were pre-existing the creation of the earth for a long time. And then suddenly God decides to create the earth, and then, of course, he creates the human race. And so Adam is created from the very soil of the realm that he was intended to rule. So the Elohim decided to create mankind, from the very soil of the planet that we were created to rule. And I say there's two reasons why Adam was created. There's two primary reasons why we were created. These are the two things that I think describe our purpose. Okay, so a two-pronged purpose of mankind. Number one, our primary purpose is fellowship with the Father. We were created for fellowship with the Father and in the family of God. And I maintain that includes fellowship with our elder siblings. And the Bible is very, it elucidates this a little bit in different parts of the Bible, where, for example, Paul talks about all the family being named, you know, under heaven and earth, or something to this effect. In other words, that the family of God is larger than just us. It's more encompassing than just the human race. I think this is why the angels rejoice when people come to faith in Christ, because I think there's a sense that there's going to be a renewing of fellowship, the fellowship of Eden, I call it, which obviously man walked in the cool of the day with the Father. Mm-hmm. And obviously Adam and Eve were also conversing with this other thing, this other creature in the garden, the Nakash. And so there was more than just Adam and Eve conversing with each other in the garden. There was fellowship with the Father and interaction with this other thing, probably with other beings as well, which we would consider the angels. So that fellowship, I think, is going to be renewed at the advent of the resurrection. And so we were created from the earth for fellowship with God, and then the second purpose would be to govern the earth, specifically created to govern the earth. And I make this statement that man was not created and then given a purpose. Man was created for a purpose. And these are two different ideas. It's one thing to be created and then, you know, God creating mankind and then saying, what should he do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what should his job be or something like that? He's kind of sitting around bored. We should give him a job. No, that's not the case. The fact is, first he creates the earth, and then he creates man. Kind, he creates Adam to govern it. So Adam was created first and foremost for fellowship with the Father and fellowship in the family of God, and then secondly, to govern the earth, which is basically our vocation, is to govern. And I think that's why we're part of the family of God, by the way. I think that the sons of God, mm-hmm. which we become in Christ through the power of the resurrection, sons of God are part of the royal family, the ruling class. We're created to govern. Both us and our elder siblings, by the way, also. So, and the angels, their provenance is not planet Earth. They were not created here. As we said, they pre-exist planet Earth. They shouted for joy when it was created, the morning stars, the sons of God. And so what is their origin? What is their primal origin? Well, it's not here. And who knows? We were created from the substance of the Earth. What were they created from? Were they created from the substance of a different planet, of a star? Who knows? But it wasn't here. And this is a very important distinction that seems obvious and it seems intuitive when you read the scriptures, that there is this distinction between the human race and what I call the elder race. But then there's a relationship that links us together in the family of God, which is very exciting and which is kind of a main thread in my book.
Mm. In your book, Birthright, you write that mankind was created from the earth to rule the earth. We know that Satan and his minions are in the middle of a rebellion that will culminate with the events described in the book of Revelation, Daniel chapter 11, other apocalyptic prophecies in the Old Testament. How do they plan then to replace humanity, since it was our birthright to rule this planet? How do they plan to get around that aspect of human nature?
This is the meaning of the title Birthright in my book. The birthright of mankind is dominion of planet Earth. And you're going to find this once you realize that this is in fact the case, you see this dynamic playing out through the entire biblical narrative. Mankind governs the Earth, and only mankind. This was a mandate that was given to Adam and his offspring, Adam and his progeny. And so it was the title deed of the earth given to Adam, if you want to look at it that way, which is very interesting because that's the beginning of the story, right? The title deed of the earth being given to Adam and in the pronouncement, in the mandate to take dominion and subdue the earth and so forth. That's God giving the title deed of the planet over to Adam and his offspring, good, bad, or indifferent, mm-hmm. by the way, human race. And then what do you find at the very end of the story in the book of Revelation? You have an amazing, profound scene that's unfolding in heaven that John beholds. And it's a scene that invokes deep emotion. And I never understood this scene. And this is one of the things that led me to write the book. It's this intriguing scene in heaven in which there's a dystopian nightmare unfolding on earth, right? And the Antichrist has arisen, the dragon, and he's overtaken the earth and so forth. And then John's up in heaven and he sees... He sees a scroll in the right hand of the Father. And there's the declaration by the angel, who is worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open its seals. And nobody was found mm-hmm. in heaven or on earth who was worthy to take the scroll and loose its seals.
Or under the earth.
Or under the earth. Mm-hmm. And John weeps. And I always was taken aback by that. Why is he weeping? It never made any sense to me. He just weeps. And I think one of the most powerful declarations in all of Scripture is, do not weep. And the angel tells him, there is one who is worthy to open the scroll. And John beheld a lamb as if it had been slain, and he's told he is worthy to open the scroll. In other words, there was someone seated at the right hand of the Father who was worthy to open the scroll, and the angel was comforting John. Don't worry. There's somebody who has the authority to open that scroll. And so, as I said, in the beginning, we were given the deed of the earth. So I think what we're looking at is the deed of the earth and the right hand of the Father. And he's saying, and the angel is asking, who has the authority to take back the earth? Because authority has been taken away from mankind on earth. We can get into why that, but why that's the case. But authority has been taken away from mankind on earth. And we've lost our mandate. We've lost the birthright. And who can recover it? Who can take it back for mankind and restore human dominion on earth? And nobody was found. And why was nobody found? Because everybody alive on earth, I believe, in this context, is going to be post-human. That the earth is going to be in a post-human state. There's going to be a post-human paradigm on earth. And that effectively, the human race will be nearly eradicated on earth. And that nobody would be able to take up the mandate of Adam and reclaim the earth and do battle with the beast. However, and you know, this is kind of the punchline, you know, of the book is, even if there are no longer any humans left on earth, there is still a Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is the Son of Man. He is a human being, and because he's a human being, the offspring of Adam, Jesus's genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. Because he is the offspring of Adam, he is worthy. He has the authority to take the scroll as a human being and repossess the earth for mankind. He is, as Russ Dizdar always says, the hero of humanity. He really is. I mean, he is the archetype of a hero, and the archetype. I mean, every story is based on the biblical story, ultimately. It really is. I mean, this is the most heroic story ever written that you could ever imagine. And so Christ has the authority to take the scroll and to break its seals. And so I believe that is... and of course, I explain all of this from the first chapter to the last. So there's a whole lot of explanation that goes into the book between Adam being handed the deed of the earth's dominion and Jesus taking it and breaking the seals, and with each seal that he breaks, he's vanquishing the empire of the beast, and he's undoing what's been wrought in the earth, and really just destroying. It's the vision of the statue cast and the different metals of Nebuchadnezzar, the dream, I should say. Mm-hmm. And what happens at the end of that dream and these empires, of course, and I talk about that in the book, and they represent the different empires of earth. What happens? A stone is cut out of a mountain and it's thrown. And what does it do? It pulverizes the statue. Mm-hmm. And that's the kingdom of Jesus. And it pulverizes the statue and smashes it into dust. And that's what the seals are doing to the empire, the final empire on earth. It represents this pulverizing of the beast's empire, and then Christ returns to do battle with him at Armageddon and finally vanquish him. Mm. So it's that the deed of dominion which belongs to the human race. You know, Paul said that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And Adam was bequeathed this dominion of the earth. And it's interesting that the Father decided that God decided to give Adam dominion of the earth. And not to an angel. Why? And I believe that the answer is because there had been a massive rebellion that precluded the creation of Adam. And there's some interesting lines in the book of Job, and I'm trying to recall them exactly. There's a couple of very interesting lines that talk about God's disposition, basically, when he created Adam. And his disposition was he put no trust in his holy ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He did not. I forget the second one. He put no trust in, like, as if he doesn't trust. He's not going to entrust the earth to them. He's going to create a younger sibling, a new sibling in the family, and to him he will bestow dominion of the earth. And then what's the first thing that happens to Adam in the garden? He's tested. It's a test of allegiance,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because there had been this rebellion and this pre-Adamic context. So it's really a very vast narrative. It's a huge narrative that unfolds in the. I think of the biblical narrative. The biblical narrative is much broader than I think we've contemplated. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating stuff as we've learned why angels, not of this earth, again, inhuman entities, and they've been interacting with us and, well, some deceiving us for thousands and thousands of years.
Yes, and they really don't have our best interests in mind when they're doing this. They are trying to enlist us in a spiritual war that's been going on for millennia.
Right, and interestingly, as Tim pointed out, they need to enlist human help because only a human can sit on the throne of Earth. God created humanity and gave us dominion over Earth, which is why not only they will need to come up with a false Messiah, which is the literal meaning of the term Antichrist, but it's why Jesus had to be fully human as well.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
I love that. I love that. Well, more with Timothy Alberino next week, right?
Absolutely. More fascinating stuff as we discuss more about angelic civilizations and what it might have looked like and why, what influence that angelic civilization has had on human history.
Oh, I know. And don't forget that you can write to us, bgm@skywatchtv.com. That's BGM for Bible's Greatest Mysteries.
Yeah. Boy, so many things in the Bible to discuss. As we dig deeper into Scripture, we find so many nuggets in there that we didn't realize had been in there all along.
I know you and I say that all the time. Was that always in there? And of course it was.
Yeah, well, we're not trying to come up with some crazy new way of interpreting the Scripture. We're just trying to get back to understanding it the way the Hebrew prophets and the apostles and even the early church understood it, because they knew that the gods of the pagan neighbors, their pagan neighbors, were real, but they were fallen angels. We in the modern church have lost that understanding, and in so doing, we've lost the understanding of this spiritual conflict that is going on around us and why so many of us are wounded.
Mm-hmm.
And so by getting back to that understanding, we get a better, not only a better understanding of what's going on in the spirit realm, but also a deeper appreciation for what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done to redeem us from this conflict.
Amen. Well said.
Thank you for watching and joining us on this journey. This is the Bible's Greatest Mysteries from Skywatch TV.